Now we come to the lecture of the 11th of July, 1920. Rudolf Steiner starts. He said, I would like today to attach to my yesterday lecture to say something which should be adapted to bring together much which has been presented in the course of these lectures, in the course of time, in order out of that to get a comprehensive explanation of the mystery of Golgotha. Naturally, indeed, when a person speaks about this middle point of the human life in the modern age, always the speaking is always said that you say something of an aphoristic nature, that you give something of an episode nature, as it were an extract out of all that which can be worked by us in a very rich survey in order to grasp this mystery of Golgotha. If one really wants to grasp correctly the mystery of Golgotha, so you must be clear about the fact that the whole ancient mystery being, the whole nature of the mysteries which preceded the mystery of Golgotha, which then gradually was exhausted, overcome, and which taken in the main in a very high degree became overcome, was exhausted, or was overcome, when that time approached in which the mystery of Golgotha was to occur, that this ancient mystery being, these ancient mysteries, absolutely, in their essential nature, all pointed to this central earth event, to this mystery of Golgotha. If you take and permit to work upon yourself in the correct way, that which I attempted to present in my book, The Christianity as a Mystical Fact, then you will indeed find that in the symbolical ritual way of presentation which was fostered in the ancient mysteries, that there the different secrets of the cosmos, as it were, with a dramatic force was placed before the neophyte, was allowed to occur before the person who was to be initiated. However, that which stood in the middle point of all the rites, of all the symbolism which were fostered in the mysteries in order to get a deepening of human knowledge, in the center of all that was the mystery of the dying person who dies within his body and allows to die away from him all that which orientates itself towards a sense world. And then, out of an inner soul force, precisely by passing through this death, through the experience of this death, is able to awaken to a higher life. The kind and way in which that was presented in the mysteries, in order to stimulate the inner experience of the human being, that had a great similarity to that which later on in actual reality, whereas in the mysteries it was placed in a more symbolical way, but that had a similarity to that which actually in reality occurred in Palestine at the time of the mystery of Golgotha. And one is able to say that there stands in the center point of earth development the cross which is erected upon the hill of Golgotha. To that cross, mankind can look towards, it can gaze towards this cross erected on the hill of Golgotha, to the Christ who passed through death in a sort of image, but in an image which directly spoke to the neophyte as an eternal language, an eternal speech. This was something which was vorausgenommen, something in the ancient mysteries which was anticipated, so that these ancient mysteries, in a certain sense, can be considered as a preparation for the mystery of Golgotha itself. It is, in a certain sense, a mystery of Golgotha can be considered as a cosmic experience in relationship to that which could occur in an individual way in every single human being. And the question is, what actually occurred in the individual single human being when he passed through the experiences of initiation? That which was born within him, that which can be considered the decalis as inherited qualities, and that which in the ordinary sense he has acquired to himself through education, through the ordinary education, that is pushed down into the unconscious, that it dies away, that is blunted, and out of the depths of the soul there arises the higher ego of the human being, that ego which does not belong to this physical world, but which is called upon to exercise a mission in this physical world. That which there occurs in the inner being of the human being, that is an individual process, a resurrection of the better, the higher self of the human being. Previously, man did not have in his consciousness this higher self. If we imagine that this process is expanded over the whole earth, then we can consider the whole earth as a kind of living being, as a kind of conscious living being, which it actually in reality is. And if we can look upon this whole earth as a living being, then we must have to say the following. Right up to the mystery of Golgotha, in the course of the historical development of mankind, this earth did not have its higher self. This higher self had not yet inserted itself into the earth being, something which had not yet developed out of the earth, something which also did not live in the ancient pagan wisdom, something which also did not live in the Jewish wisdom. That something, that higher self, which was not up to the mystery of Golgotha, living with the earth. But in the human being, Jesus of Nazareth, now there dwelt this higher self of the earth. This higher self of the earth injected itself, as we know, through the baptism by John in the Jordan. And since that time, since the completion of the mystery of Golgotha, this higher self of the earth has become a working impulse within earth life. Earth life has, through that, received its higher self. Thus we can say the following. In a microcosmic way, there occurs a certain special inner process in every human being who strives towards this inner process and wants to have it. That occurs microcosmically in every human being. But macrocosmically, that same process was given through the earth, to the earth, through the mystery of Golgotha. That which in a microcosmic way is the waking up of the higher self within the human being, that occurred macrocosmically through the mystery of Golgotha. And with that, there is already connected the Christ being, which lived in the man Jesus of Nazareth, and which earlier on did not live upon the earth, but which descended out of spiritual, out of cosmic heights, and united itself with earth evolution. But with that, there is still something else is given. With that is given that in order to understand the mystery of Golgotha, there belongs another knowledge than that is another knowledge different from what man can acquire through the perception of external nature. Another knowledge different from that which man receives insofar as he looks around himself in ordinary life. And this is necessary, what you have, necessary, a transformation of the human being. And the transformed human being then can receive a kind of knowledge which he can understand through which he can understand the mystery of Golgotha. This mystery of Golgotha stands as a fact of world history there, but we must always make the distinction between this fact, which once upon a time occurred in the course of the historical development of mankind, make a distinction between that and between the understanding of this fact, something which man can develop in himself as concepts in order to understand this mystery of Golgotha. When the mystery of Golgotha occurred, there already the ancient mystery wisdom in a certain sense had darkened itself, had glimmered away, had begun to disappear. Nevertheless, however, residues of this ancient wisdom were still present, and those who still possessed such residues, those who still had the tradition or still had the inner perception and could then be able to impart to other people the results of this inner perception, these people were called upon to contribute something to the understanding of the mystery of Golgotha. With other words, one had utilized the mystery wisdom in order to understand the mystery of Golgotha. Thus you have, on one side, you stand the fact of the occurrence of the mystery of Golgotha, and on the other side, there stands that which man has to attempt to develop in order to understand this mystery of Golgotha. Now, in order that I should not be misunderstood, I have to insert again the following. It is not necessary that in order to understand the mystery of Golgotha, that you have to be a clairvoyant. However, it is necessary that through clairvoyance one can acquire certain results, and then the results of clairvoyance can be taken hold of by the healthy human intellect, and through that he can receive into his soul certain concepts, certain mental images, certain ideas which do not apply only to the sense world, but ideas which are able to grasp and take hold of the supersensible world. Just as one today does not need to be a spiritual researcher if you want to understand the mystery of Golgotha, but when it's necessary to take up into yourself that which comes out of the results of spiritual vision, in order with the help of these concepts to understand the mystery of Golgotha, precisely in the same way, out of the ancient mystery wisdom, you could get an understanding for the mystery of Golgotha. You get an understanding for the mystery of Golgotha through the results of modern spiritual science, as well as out of the ancient mystery wisdom. That which was originally the primal mystery wisdom, that had been applied in the first centuries in order to understand the mystery of Golgotha. And also, ultimately, there flowed into the Gospels nothing other than that which was mystery wisdom. And this I have precisely attempted to explain and present in my writing, Christianity as a Mystical Fact. Thus, the Gospels were so brought into existence in such a way that they were, in a certain sense, the ancient mystery wisdom being applied to the mystery of Golgotha. The very best which mankind had on concepts and ideas, on inner soul experiences, all that one attempted to bring together in order to understand this mystery of Golgotha in the correct way. And this was the situation in the first centuries of Christianity. However, since these first centuries, this mystery wisdom has dimmed away. And when today you take this ancient mystery wisdom and present it to the human beings of today, and when with this ancient, you try to take the ancient mystery wisdom as it was then and try to appeal with that to the healthy human intellect to this of this ancient mystery wisdom, it's no longer possible to understand this ancient mystery wisdom as it was then. This ancient mystery wisdom speaks in a language to which present-day man is no longer accessible. It's only very gradually that you can win yourself again through to the grasping of that which is contained in tradition. Out of the ancient mystery wisdom, you can do it when now, through the modern spiritual science, you can again recognize that particular realm of knowledge which was present as ancient mystery wisdom in the atavistic knowledge. This modern spiritual science is today absolutely capable of being understood by the healthy human intellect, but not the ancient mystery wisdom. That can only be understood only when you work yourself through into the results of the modern spiritual vision. And so gradually, after the first centuries of our era, human being gradually lost the ability to use the ancient mystery wisdom to understand the mystery of Golgotha. This mystery wisdom was exhausted. The mystery of Golgotha could no longer be more understood. And we see that indeed when you consider a great part of the theology of the present time. The theology of the present time wants to apply the same, wants to utilize the same sort of wisdom, of knowledge, which is built up by present natural science in order to understand the mystery of Golgotha. We have often mentioned here that more and more, as a result of restricting ourselves to what modern natural scientific knowledge, it has reached the point where the Christ being has completely been eliminated almost, and only can understand Jesus of Nazareth. Or, as these theologians say, the simple man out of Nazareth. Christ has been eliminated from theology because, simply through the fact that the Christ in Jesus, the existence of the Christ being in Jesus, cannot be understood from the point of view of external sense science. The ancient supersensible science, the inheritance of the mysteries, that has been lost for mankind. Even already in the centuries before the mystery of Golgotha, the last great mysteries, which for example were in France, were actually destroyed by the Romans as they conquered France. The Romans who spread over that prosaic aspect. in the last centuries before the arising of Christianity, there was destroyed at a certain particular place in France. The ancient Druid mysteries were destroyed through the Roman troops. Hundreds and hundreds of initiates at that time, in a few days, were killed. One can say, here you had a sort of Inquisition long before the Catholic Inquisition. And if, for example, while history as it would not be the fabled convenu which it is, then history would be able to tell you about what the Roman emperors did and many other things which they did in order to persecute the ancient mystery-wise people, because this Romanism placed itself the task of completely eliminating that which as the inheritance of the ancient mysteries had survived in their particular period. Nevertheless, certain residues of these mysteries maintained themselves right into the Middle Ages, indeed, right into the 18th century, after echoes of the ancient mystery wisdom still existed, and even right up to the 18th century. And with this ancient mystery, in a certain way, one could understand certain aspects of the mystery of Golgotha. But the impossibility of really understanding the mystery of Golgotha occurred only in the 19th century. And in the 19th century, we see modern theology developed itself, but more and more the Christ concept was lost, that less and less people could understand the actual nature of the mystery of Golgotha. And those people, and so all the others, were left to the dictates of an external church. And the question is now, what can actually concern itself if we consider the initiation science in the present time as applied to the mystery of Golgotha? It can only handle itself, can be dealt with, that again, this mystery wisdom should again be found, in order that through this new mystery wisdom, the mystery of Golgotha can then become understandable for the human beings. It is really so that if evolution would continue in the same way as it had continued in the Western science, to the ideas of Galileo, to the ideas of Copernicus, so there would result in the West the absolute disappearance for the true import of the mystery of Golgotha, and the West would develop more and more into a barbarism. This is something which in the present time has to be realized with the deepest earnestness. When the ideal of that knowledge which is presented from the official Orthodox sources, which would spread itself out, so relationships in the West, very quick, one can say, that this civilization of the West would actually become a barbarism, something which no longer knows anything of the real significance of the mystery of Golgotha. And it's quite possible that within this barbarism, through external powers and forces, it is possible to maintain itself the cult. For example, it's possible that the Roman Catholic Church could maintain itself within this barbarism. But thoughtful people will no longer be able to unite anything significant with the cult which is there performed. They would just perceive it merely as an external thing. Just as in a certain time, the ceremonies which the ancient Germans performed in relationship to their god ultimately came merely something of an external nature. If that would happen, then earth development would lose its sense, because this earth development can only have a sense, it can have a sense and meaning only through the working of the mystery of Golgotha. I would like to express things in a way which I've often told you about. Let's, for example, assume that upon the earth there descended a dweller of Mars who knew nothing about the earth, because among the Mars dwellers there is nothing of the earth relationships. And this Mars dweller would look around upon the earth, upon that which is present upon the earth, and he'd find everything or absolutely not understandable. But however, in the moment when he would see a picture of Leonardo's Last Supper and would observe what has presented there, then this Mars dweller would be able to get a meaning, an understanding of what the earth life is all about. Precisely this thing I wanted to mention to you, for the reason, because in this picture, in this Last Supper, in a special expressive presentation, you have something there which belongs to the mystery of Golgotha, something there which actually is of a universal significance, of such a significance that one, through it, through this Last Supper, can really get a correct understanding of the sense and meaning of earth life. But one first needs the concepts, the ideas, in order to understand that which is an actual fact. And these concepts and ideas are no longer present in today's external education. And these must again be brought to our knowledge. They must be brought to life out of the inner being of the human being. And must be brought to life as something new, and it should not really represent a striving to a sort of renaissance of the ancient ideas. We need something new. The ancient ideas will no longer help mankind. We do not need a renaissance, a rebirth of something which was before. We need a new birth. We need a complete new birth of a spiritual life, and not a warming up of the ancient spiritual life, but we need something being born of something new. Now, in reference to that, we ought to be able to point to what we have here as our anthroposophical oriented spiritual science, and to point to its actual fundamental basis. What actually is the fundamental basis of this anthroposophically oriented spiritual science? Let's consider the world all around us. We see it's developing into the mineral kingdom, into the plant kingdom, into the animal kingdom. Natural science has, in the modern time, brought forth a great deal about that which occurs in the development of the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, and the mineral kingdom. It will also bring forward much more to give an explanation about the evolution of the mineral, the plant, and the animal. But about the human being, this natural science hasn't produced anything really special. Because if you enter really into that which is natural science tells about the human being, from a description of his anatomy, of his physiology, though, so you will find that this natural science can observe only that of the human being which permits him to appear as the last member of the animal kingdom. As natural science, it does this quite correctly. But through that, it observes only that which permits to appear in him as the highest member of the animal kingdom, as it were, the most perfect animal. But This natural science observes nothing which makes the human being appear actually as he is as a human being, insofar as he lifts himself up out of the surrounding kingdoms. Our spiritual science, it occupies itself most certainly not in a dilettante way, but it researches in a very conscientious way, with a deepening of that which natural science has to say about the mineral, the plant, and the animal. And if only man of the present time would just listen to that which, to what anthroposophy has to say, then it would not have the opinion that this anthroposophy is some kind of religious sects, some religious sect which is something which an aunt, which is good for aunts, but she will be able to see, good for old aunts, but she will be able to see that spiritual anthroposophy is something different, that anthroposophy is a strictly scientific investigation. If only they would try to understand that that which is brought forward through natural science there has to be deepened, and what spiritual science brings forth is something which is richer than external natural science. So then, isn't it rather foolish when from the side of natural science anthroposophy is battled? They try to battle anthroposophy. Anthroposophy takes nothing away from natural science. Anthroposophy places natural science before itself and says, indeed, upon your domain you're doing very excellently and thank you very much. It's very good. But what natural science does, it adds to what spiritual science does, it adds something. It doesn't take anything away, but it adds something to what natural science has investigated about the mineral, plant, and animal kingdom. What right has any natural scientist to repel and object to something which he himself has not researched and cannot research? There's no greater tyranny than the sort of tyranny which you want to pass an opinion upon something which you yourself have not investigated. And where does anthroposophical oriented science, spiritual science, arrive at when it investigates the mineral, plant, and animal according to its own methods? It arrives at being able to realize that that which one can find through the natural scientific methods, that which one can observe from the external sense world, certainly can be applied to the human being, but only in such a way that that which it tries to explain deals in that which is the dead aspect of human being. Natural science deals with a dying human being. Natural science can only investigate that declining development, that descending development, the dying aspect of mankind. But if it wants to understand that in nature that deals with death, then you do, that's what comes from natural science. And all the natural scientific laws are the laws, the dying laws. Natural science can investigate only that which is dying away in the human being. Get a complete understanding of the living human being, we need to have the knowledge of spiritual science. And so anthroposophy adds to the sense science of natural science, adds to it the knowledge of the supersensible, This knowledge of the supersensible is absolutely necessary if you want to understand the total human being. If you want to understand the total human being, you have to appeal to the science of the supersensible. When you look upon man purely in the sense aspect, all you receive is man only as a mortal being, a dying being. Now, the religious confessions, which have never really bothered about real knowledge, have seen the development of natural science, which deals with the mortal human being. And therefore, the confession, the religious confession says, okay, you natural science deal with the mortal human being. We deal with the immortal human being. We deal with that aspect of the human being which does not die. And so we appeal to the egoism of the soul of man. Spiritual science talks about the pre-birthly human being. And so it can add to the sense of immortality the idea of the unbornness of man. Special characteristic of anthroposophical-oriented spiritual science is its focusing upon the supersensible, and so far as it rises up to the supersensible, it brings mankind something which is essentially united with the ancient mystery wisdom, and therefore can again lead man also to an understanding of the mystery of Golgotha. Spiritual science can help man understand the ancient mystery wisdom. It can help man also understand the mystery of Golgotha. Hence, out of the whole course of the development of mankind, we are pointed to the development of anthroposophical spiritual science in order that we should not lose the perception of the mystery of Golgotha. And if a person objectively looks around into our modern education, it very clearly occurs to him that everything in our modern education is tending to eliminate, to cause to disappear, the understanding for the mystery of Golgotha. And the traditional religious confessions will never be able to hold back this disappearance, because the traditional religious confessions merely preserve the husks and the shells of something which once upon a time had some sense and meaning, but which today has no longer any sense and meaning for the human intellect. And hence, it will really won't be able to hold back this disappearance of the mystery of understanding of the mystery of Golgotha, unless it begins to understand the significance of conscious spiritual research. Out of this, you're able to realize how inwardly connected is the further course of the understanding of the mystery of Golgotha, how that is inwardly connected with the development of a true spiritual knowledge. Times today are so earnest that one could do nothing other than to knock at the door of the deepest truth, behind which lies the truths which mankind today needs. Mankind of the West, with its American attachment, will decay into barbarism if we are not able to maintain the understanding for the Christian mystery. Social life will go into decay unless the social life in human souls, one can develop something of a gemeinsames, something of a common element. And what can this common element be? It could only be that which is expressed by Paul when he says, "Not I, but Christ within me." So many people will be able to say, "Not I, but Christ in me." So many people will also be able to regard themselves as members of one mankind over the whole earth, without distinction of nationality or other differentiations. And such people who experience this, not I but Christ in me, they will be able to find themselves together in the establishment of a new social life. I mentioned previously that the ancient Jehovah religion consisted in the fact that Jehovah was the leader of this special people, of the Jewish people. But today, every nationality, every nation has its own Jehovah. What we need, that through the Pauline expression, not I but Christ in me, they will be able to overcome this Jehovah type of nationalism and advance to a universal Christ understanding. This new Christ understanding in our modern age can be achieved only through anthroposophical spiritual science. We need a real knowledge of the nature of the human being. The name anthroposophy, when properly translated, means the following. Anthroposophy means the wisdom which arises out of the human being when the human being finds himself in his higher self. And when you point to that which one can know of the higher human being, then you do not refer to it as the science of the human being, but as human science, as a science of the higher man. That's how anthroposophy should be interpreted. And anthroposophy transformed into the macrocosmic aspect becomes Christology. The most strange thing today, that those religious confessions whose task it is to interpret for mankind the mystery of Golgotha, these religious confessions attack that very anthroposophy which can offer the clearest understanding and confession towards the mystery of Golgotha. We have to open our eyes and listen with our ears, and we can see that well-known prince of the church, Cardinal Rauscher, in the 1860s, when in the upper house in Austria he explained, "The church knows no progress." Refusal to recognize progress, that is essentially the program of the church. And when you read the articles published by the Catholic Church and the distortions and the lies which they contain, you realize how far these church representatives have departed from the living Christ, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And here ends the lecture.